Okay.
Okay. Hi, everyone. We are Megan.
And Molly.
And we are here for After the Rose, our inexplicable show where we talk about all things Bachelor Nation related.
You don't sound too good, Megan.
I just took a nip off my Robitussin bottle.
She's been taking shots of Robitussin through the whole pregame.
I think they call it Tussin.
Like, yeah, she's on the Tussin.
Or what's the tailgating Tussin party?
Never heard of it. Usually we record.
So sexy, Molly. I really miss you. I wish you were here, but if you were here, I might get you sick. So.
Well, I'm also sick. I'm just a little less sick than you.
Maybe you're sympathy sick.
Yeah, but not for you, my mother. Oh. But we're off track already.
We just deep dove into something there. Anyway, we missed everyone. We missed doing this show.
So we've
been on a little hiatus. I mean the 4 or 5 people who occasionally tune in. But
all of Bachelor Nation has been on a forced hiatus.
I know, but we've been on. I mean, I just feel like for us, it's been deeper because we've been apart.
Oh well, all right. I was talking about the show. Okay, our friendship. Our friendship has been on hiatus.
Well, no, it hasn't. But I do feel like the hiatus has been more profound because we haven't been able to podcast. You've been far away. There's a general to every season turn thing happening. And we're finally back on track, and I feel really excited about this season.
Okay. Me too. Well, let me make an announcement right off the bat. So we're doing something different this year, and we're doing a Bachelor Fantasy League. Very much like fantasy football, just completely different. So we're really excited about it. And if you're listening before Monday night, January 4th, and or you haven't watched the show yet because we're making our picks off of the contestant bios, then it's not too late for you to enter. All you have to do is pick 5 of the contestants and email them to us. That's it. Like, that's all it is. And so our website is aftertherosepodcast.com. You're going to email your picks to aftertherosepodcast@gmail.com. And what's our Twitter handle, Megan? This is a quiz.
It is after_the_rose.
That's right. I think if you probably search.
I got that right.
I know.
Disappointing you is no joke.
Dude. The Bachelor Twitter jungle is, I can't even get into it, but so to review, we would love to have you in our league. It's going to be super fun. It's curated by batchfantasy.com, a couple of girls, Jory and Becca, much like ourselves. I've been in communication with them. It's been really cool.
I feel like those movies where the different in the alien landscape, like, reach out to each other and they intercept.
Right, like when NASA has to talk to Russia because there's
Except
an alien.
That the Bachelor Nation is the most, like, pervasive, giant, and, like, undefined mass of saccharine humanity, but, like, it still feels like, hey, you're out there too?
You have no idea, Megan. I mean, last season, you and I, we didn't know what we were doing. We were pioneers, and I wasn't, I mean, we weren't really that invested in the overall, like, internet community surrounding this thing. But recently, you know, I made the Twitter account. I made our website. Like, we're getting a little more legit. We're branching off from doghatesfilm.com. Got our own website.
Yeah, you should check it out. I think it looks really great, Molly.
Thanks,
you did
Megan.
A really good job.
Thanks a lot. But I mean, so I'm reading, like, hashtag The Bachelor on Twitter, and I was shocked. Like, it was like an alternate universe. There are, like, several of our show, first of all. Two snarky girls, like, talking The Bachelor.
It's always two girls.
I did see,
gal palling it up.
I found a website called Batch Boys, and, all 4 of the boys, I think there's 4 of them. They're all my type. They're, like, you know, chubby, bearded, nerdy. I don't know what they do, though. I don't know if it's a blog or a podcast or what. I didn't look at it close enough. So that was sort of fun.
I feel confused why you're still in Detroit and why you haven't just started running or like towards wherever they're based.
I mean, it's new. This is a new relationship. I just saw their website last night. Just perused it. I'm not ready to move in with them. I don't know if I don't know. I would want to date them all at once. Like, I don't want, you know.
You want all four quarters of the batch boys.
I'm sure individually they would disappoint me, as all
I'm
men
trying to
do.
talk Molly into these, like, he's trying to talk you into bachelor-themed road trips and like expanding out into the real world. But for now, we're just expanding into the internet.
Yeah, we have like 50 Twitter followers. Let's go on the road. Let's go on tour. Visit Iowa.
The day we pull up in the Grand Marquis to Farmer Chris's farm, that's the day I'll know we've made it.
He won't be home. Like, he's not really a farmer. He's just a reality show. Oh, like,
I
man.
know, pan to him in the Dancing with the Stars studio.
Chris Farmer
Being a
sucks.
jerk.
Ben H is so much better. But
I don't
we'll
really.
get to it. We'll get
Yeah,
to it.
we'll get to it, but let's catch everybody up. What's been going on? Like, I mean, catch me up too. I know we talk every day, but hear the Cliff's Notes reversion of the last few weeks.
I mean, shit, I haven't seen you since August, I think. I
September,
left
I think.
September, okay. 'Cause I left Seattle on the beginning of September just to move home for a couple months. And we met up in Missoula.
Yeah, we had like we said goodbye, and Molly gave me a necklace she was wearing
I did.
when
Oh yeah.
we
I'm so
met.
sweet.
Yeah, and you're but you were we were at a little party, a little going away party, and you gave me the necklace, and then you looked at me, you said, "Let's not do this." Like, let's not say it, like, let's not have a big goodbye. Let's not do this. And
Did
and
you know
so
what I
I
meant, or like, did it come off as
no, it came
bitchy,
across as no, it came across as sweet. It was
or?
very much it was just, oh my God, I loved it so much. But you were like, "Megan, you know you mean the world to me, but let's not talk about it ever again." I'm just gonna go.
I hate goodbyes, they're the worst.
So I like clung to the necklace. Like, it was very Titanic, you know, like later I'm gonna drop it in the sea. But it was like you went off into the sunset, and then the next day it was like, oh hey, I'm gonna be in Missoula at the same time. We met up at the Union, which is an
It's
old
like, how can
favorite.
I miss you if you never leave?
We were going to finish up in Molly's motel room. We were gonna do the final episode of our Bachelor in Paradise review recap, but it
You
didn't
get busy.
happen.
We didn't get around to it.
Everybody asked where you were. I was like, "She's good town." They were like, "Seems like something Molly would do."
Dude, I woke up the next morning, so we were there for Festival of the Book. So it wasn't just like that we got to hang out. It was like a lot of like writers that we don't see, J. Robert Lennon and Ed Skoog and like and just people that we all know that were in Missoula. So it was like super fun times. And I woke up in the morning, you know, with all my shit in my car on my way to Waterford, Michigan, and it was just like I felt like if I didn't leave that morning, I would never leave. I was just like so. And I still pine for Missoula and may revisit, but the future is unknown. So yeah, I mean, whatever, Bachelor in Paradise. What happened?
Jade and Tanner got engaged.
I really don't. Honestly, Megan, I kind of don't. I just like it's too long ago. I don't. They
Yeah,
got engaged.
I don't know. I think that it is sort of like being, I mean, it is, you know, being an addict where I know that you know, a batch addict where I know that Bachelor in Paradise is terrible, but I don't realize how terrible it is until I am once again like given access to the real deal. You know, like go buy buy the shitty drugs because you want the drugs, but like
just like the shitty spinoff where they use like paper plates instead of
yeah. Like I was so into Bachelor in Paradise and I was watching, it was 2 hours 2 days a week. That's so much time. And I was watching it, and now I look back on it, and I just, like, shake my head.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of reasons.
A shell of a person just, like, asking for more. And now, you know, now we're back to the fully funded helicopter rides everywhere. You know, not,
yeah.
not the sad sack dates. Thank God. It's been a long time.
What have you been up to? I mean, you had an awesome year. You got your book, Call Me Home. Like, so much exciting shit happened with it.
Sometimes I like to just call it CMH now.
Oh, yeah. I have a hard time with acronyms. When I first posted the blog post about the contest, I said ATRs. And
oh, yeah, I saw that.
And my fella Aaron was like, "That why is it ATR? And I was like, oh, I don't know. That's not right. Or AFR, sorry. ATR is correct. See, I don't know. And I have a problem with homonyms, too.
Like, yeah, my favorite, was like, just going to tell you all your problems, but my favorite thing is when you'll try to say an old, what do you call it? Like a parable or
yeah,
an
parable.
Old saying. And you'll be like, guy looks like a very tall bowl of.
I know that one now. It's a tall drink of water.
What
a tall glass.
To
I think
say.
I said a tall glass of water.
A tall glass of water.
You knew what the fuck I meant. Oh, yeah. No, this happens all the time when I turn in movie reviews for the newspaper. It's a homonym thing mostly. Like I spelled cord and cord like interchangeably, CHORD or the cord, like whatever. And yeah. I had toes the line in one of my reviews, and I had spelled it TOWS, toes the line. I don't know what I was thinking. I imagine
isn't that how it is?
No, it's toes the line. TOES, like your toe is up against the line. You're towing the line.
Oh, and I thought you were like I pictured somebody like.
Exactly.
Dragging something
along the line as if to delineate where the line was.
Yeah. I still think I maintain that we're okay on that one.
Well, we're not. Yeah, no, professionals in the field of APA that have been, you know, editors.
I make my own rules.
Okay, well, then hopefully your copy editor will correct you.
I know, that's my dream.
Dude, if I get something wrong like that in the local newspaper in Missoula, Montana, there's some 70-year-old man that's, like, typing up a letter on his typewriter and sending it. I'm not kidding, like... When I made mistakes, there was some crotchety old man that was letting me know. Or Lindsay Wallace. She's also a fierce editor.
Oh, I love Lindsay. She's in Missoula now.
Well, I hope to be reunited with her someday.
Anyway,
I interrupted you. You were telling me about your life.
Oh, it's been going pretty good, except for this crippling sickness that I have come into recently. To be honest, my book has had an amazing... what season is this? It's had an amazing fall and winter. And I feel really lucky. It's just tons of support from people. I'm really trying to finish another book, and it's going slower than I'd hoped. So I'm hoping to have it finished this spring, but
I don't trust an author that puts out a book every couple of years. Like, I think it should like 5 years between books. Like Jim Harrison, he puts out a book every year, and I was always reviewing them for the indie, and they were like, you know, every third was good. Like,
yeah, I don't.
It's overrated.
Well, I mean,
although it's better for making money.
This book I'm writing might be terrible. We'll say that, but
that's
I have been working on it for
though,
a long. I have been working on it for a long time in my mind, or you know. It has been, like, I started Call Me Home in grad school, and that was 5 years ago.
It's the Pearl Harbor book, right? That's how I...
Yeah.
It's like a World War II romance.
No, well, it's a little different than that. it follows like four friends in Indiana before and after World War II.
Is there gay shit in it?
Of course.
Oh,
course.
Good.
I'm Megan Cruz.
Oh, man.
And you my were passion.
You were 35 under 30, is that right? Or not under 30. 30, what, 5 under 35?
35. Yeah, that was amazing.
She met fucking Captain, or Geordi LaForge from the Starship Enterprise.
LeVar Burton is, oh my God, he's a gentleman and a scholar. I've never been so impressed with someone. Like, he has swagger, he is just so, like, warm, and
the pictures with you two, it just looked like you guys were having a fucking blast. Like,
yeah, but that is him, you know, like he can elicit from anyone just this like immediate kind of that impression, even though you don't mm-hmm. really know him at all, like it feels like you do. And so I was really just kind of blown away by his social prowess. Like, I want to learn that, you know.
Megan, you do have that.
I want to witch it up, Molly. I'm witching it up this year.
Me too. What are your New Year's resolutions?
I did some witching, so I don't want to say.
I understand. I hate that question. I don't know why.
What are yours?
Well, I mean, mine are always to, like, get $1 million and lose 100 pounds, like, every year. I don't really need to lose 100 pounds, listeners, Jesus. But, No, I don't know. I want to, I don't know, work harder.
Yeah.
Okay. The Bachelor.
Yeah, let's talk about this. Oh, so we'll be starting up. I mean, it's tomorrow. This is going out.
I'm so excited. Aren't you? Oh, like, me it's too. Been too long. So Ben H. Okay. If you remember from last year, I was team Ben H. I just really thought that he was super sexy. He's tall. I think that I could register that on the screen. Like, I'm 6 feet.
How you get, like, this kind of breathy love voice, like, love sex voice when you talk about him.
Yeah, but I have my doubts. I mean, I think that you feel the same way, that he's a real, like, straight shooter. He's pretty traditional. He might be a little boring.
Yeah, he's a Chris Harrison to me. He is.
He's polished, like.
But he's so sort of like polished that it doesn't.
I think that he's a real prude, and I think that he's not very funny. I wish that, like, I always want them to be funny, but like Caitlyn was such a firecracker, you know, like.
Oh, I love Caitlyn.
Yeah, I think that Ben H is. He's like. He's better than Chris Farmer because he's smarter. Like, Chris was just watching.
Poor Chris Farmer.
Watching that poor dolt date for an entire season.
I know. Like, and he was like a kid in a candy shop. Like, he was just like, whoa, what do I do? I'm so like, all these ladies. Like, boobies everywhere. Like, oh,
they were
God.
Like propping him up and leading him along throughout that
season.
Yeah,
like Bernie.
It was totally a Weekend at Bernie's situation.
Yeah. No, Ben H is good, but I just, like, I almost feel like it is this, like, when he and Chris Harrison lock eyes, there's probably this moment where the camera just pans completely around them, 360 degrees, and they're like, I recognize you, like, I recognize you, fellow robot, like, you know, like, yep. There's something about them that...
They're totally both on Robot Watch. Yeah. I think I read that they were, they're, like, friends, for real, like, that they...
I'm sure they are, but what are they talking about? Like, all the perfect things, like, how to grill a perfect steak, and, you know, how to, like...
yeah, what do
talk
normal
respectfully
people do?
About their dates, and, you know, do sporty things, all the man things that you're supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm still really new to the man world.
Yeah.
I'm learning. The footballing, sports balling league is bringing me closer to something.
Are you so excited about The Bachelor rather than The Bachelorette because it's like a bunch of girls and you like dig chicks?
Kind of, yeah.
I'm excited.
I do enjoy
you.
It more, and I can, like, you know, I invest in the women more generally.
Yeah, I don't know. When asked the question, which no one has ever asked me, of, like, whether I like The Bachelor or The Bachelorette more, I'm not sure, because I am boy crazy.
Do you like The Bachelor or The Bachelorette more?
Like, well, I, like I say, I don't know. Like, I like dudes. Like, I mean, the people that I hang out with here in Detroit are all dudes, and then like one, like, you know, feminist and like dudes. So I think I like Bachelorette better for that reason, but I'm not sure. I mean, the women get real catty, and for this season, the women are going to have to bring the drama, because I don't think Benage is going to bring it, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
They will. He's a Christian, like a Christian with a capital
really?
C. I'm hoping that he's sort of like an enlightened, like moderate Democrat style Christian, but I mean, he follows
up on any of that about his, like,
definitely... they're like pageant contestants, man. They are like, yeah. Sweet. They keep their shit so neutral, but I mean, I looked through his, who he follows on Twitter, and we've got a Rick Warren, like a famous pastor. We got Tim Tebow, the football star who, like, is not good at football and is a Christian.
Good at some point? Or was that?
What's that?
Wasn't he good at some point?
What at some point?
Good. Tim Tebow, didn't he have, like, a little thing for a while?
Yeah. He was great in college, and then when he played in football in the NFL, he runs with the ball a lot, but... He didn't live up to his college expectations, and I think he was like second string, and now he doesn't play. I don't know.
Okay, Molly, you the always have to catch me up on the sports ball.
I play fantasy football. This was my second year. I was in two leagues, and so I'm trying to get my friends that
How
are
did
in
you
fantasy
do in the leagues. By the way,
not so good. In the condo league, in my league with my guy friends, I finished in sixth place. I think that my team was pretty good. I had a couple of bad beats, and I lost my first playoff game, which I did last year too. So sixth place, like right in the middle. And then my other league, I made a mistake in the snake draft, and I drafted Andy Dalton for my first round draft pick, which I'm sure I can hear the gasps from the crowd when I tell them that I drafted Andy Dalton as my first pick, because that's
definitely
silly.
Gasping. Also, I was hung up on the phrase snake draft.
Well, as opposed to an auction draft.
Imagining a lot of snakes.
If fantasy football is your like barometer for a fantasy league, then Bachelor Fantasy is like Fisher Price's My First Fantasy League, because it is less complicated. There's no waiver wire. Like, there's no picking up and dropping women. Like, you can't like make trades. Although maybe, I don't know. So our commissioner
is dropping buzzwords.
So we have a commissioner, Maybe he can make those sorts of decisions midway through the season if we can work out trades or something like that, spice it up. But it's sort of like a rotisserie chicken where you just set it and forget it. You pick five women and you hope for the best.
Yeah, I think it's going to go pretty smoothly. And my boyfriend Ty is the commissioner. I have unwittingly become more attuned to sports ball and a classic cliche of relationship. capitulation. I have learned some about the sporting, but man,
let the heteronormative behavior begin.
It's so weird. I don't
Megan
know.
Megan is the biggest les
the
ever.
First cis man I've ever dated, and it's he's wonderful. He's got a poet's heart. He's the most wonderful person. but he likes the sports ball. We got into a fight once when after the Packers lost the championship.
A humiliating defeat to the Seattle Seahawks
we were in a Packer bar in like Chicago or something, and I
I mean, they the had
first time
they
I,
had
turned,
the
I turned
win,
the corner
you guys.
On understanding sportsing, but I they'd lost, and I said
they did an onside kick and recovered the ball, and the Seattle Seahawks won the game because of the Packers' mistake. It must have been horrible.
And I said, but hey, it's so good.
I'm texting Megan, like, give him some time. Like, these men, they take the shit really personally. And she's like, no, I've already smothered him with affection.
Too much. I didn't realize. It has taken me until now to realize, like, one, it's worse to get close and miss it. And two, that people get mad at their teams. I just figured you'd only get mad at the other team. for meeting you.
Oh, it's a storm of emotion. I mean, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Even with fantasy football, so Ty got second in one of his leagues,
mm-hmm.
Which is great, you know. and but I was weathering kind of a roller coaster of feelings, which is also a phrase from my childhood diary that I found.
Weathering a roller coaster of feelings.
You know, I kept a diary to the Lord, which I'll read at some point on the podcast. But there's one entry that says, "Dear Lord, please help. I'm on a roller coaster of feelings." But
the,
I, we were
the Lord
on
is like you're on your own.
but we were on a roller coaster of feelings because as the games went on, I suddenly realized that his stormy moods and joyous ebullience were tied to the scores of the games, and I felt mad.
Yeah, well, you know,
just a little insight. So I'm hoping that Bachelor fantasy or batch to see as Ty keeps trying to make happen
will not tear
you and I apart. But I don't think anything can. The distance can't rend us. Nothing will.
Oh yeah, you guys are long distance relationshipers.
No, I mean no, you and me.
Oh yeah, that too. Megan, what are you wearing?
I'm wearing a sweater and pajama pants, and I'm underneath a thick knitted wool blanket.
And you got Robitussin in one hand.
And a giant thing of tea in another.
Oh, what a girl.
I know. It's not like those nights when you come over and I'd be all dressed up with a bottle of wine.
Oh, don't talk
bleak
about
without
it.
You.
I miss her bed. Her bed heats. Like, it's like a heated bed. You can press a button.
If you live in the Northwest, it is the change maker. If you,
whatever. I need that in the Midwest. It's temperate there. Yeah. I'm looking at snow out my window. Like, I don't know what it's doing in Seattle, Washington, but it's not snowing.
Oh my gosh. I feel like you were going to tell me too about Aaron's draft picks.
Oh.
Now that we've gone into my relationship with fantasy football, do you want to talk about yours?
Aaron is my local lover. And, yeah, no, he's so cute. He, cause we play board games together and he won his, fantasy league this year, the first time he's ever won in 11 years. But he was looking at his contestant picks and he was like, well, these are the three girls that I think are prettiest. And then, I don't know, like, I guess I'll read their bios to figure out the other ones. Like,
that was how he picked.
Yeah, and it's so cute. I was like, that had never occurred to me. Because you know how I'm like, you know how I am about people's level of attractiveness. I'm like, I look at all their pictures side by side, and I'm like, there's the pretty ones. There's like the ones that are like a little bit less pretty. And then there's like the normies, but still pretty. Like, there's... I would put them in the three levels, but, I mean, other than that, indistinguishable. Like, I'm trying to remember who he thought. I could look at his picks, but I'm too lazy, but... I know he thought that, Amber was pretty. I remember that.
Oh, yeah. I might put Amber in. I definitely think Becca's gonna be a front runner.
I almost don't want to put her on my team just because I feel like it's an obvious pick. But from what I've seen from the ballots that have come in so far, not everybody has Becca on their team. But, I mean, Becca, Megan, tell the people about our long legacy with Becca.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's such a shithead thing to do to, like, speculate on someone else's sexuality. But I had Becca pegged for a les.
We thought for sure. Maybe she's just, like... She's just trying again. She's like, let's give heterosexuality another try. Like, she's like Desdemona, who's never heard of sin.
On our last podcast when she was on there, we were trying to lure her by, like,
yeah,
Becca,
like,
come on over here. So many sweaters.
She clearly did not heed the call. Because And but I mean, if she is straight or if she's just looking for a beard for life, I think Ben H and her are just
Ben might be looking for a beard for life.
She's still a virgin as far as I know, and you know, he's prude as fuck. Like,
why do you think he's prude?
Why do I think he's prude?
Yeah.
Well, are you still there?
Yeah. I'm still
here. He was out, I mean, you know, doesn't he like go to do missionary retreats like
in
kindergarten and like kids and there's this clip on the Bachelor website, like a preview of Lace trying to, like, she's like drunk and she's like, "Can I kiss you again?" And he's like, "I just really want to get to know everybody here." Like, you know? And he's serious as a heart attack,
gosh,
this guy.
I can't wait. I'm Beck, so excited. I feel like it is embarrassing how excited I am.
I'm really excited too. How are you going to watch it? You're just...
I'm not sure. I'm going to wander the streets asking people if they have a television. I think actually I might have one here that works, that my roommates have. So I'm going to work on it tonight. I'm problem solving about it.
Didn't you find out halfway into last season that the TV in the other room next to your room is like a TV that works?
Yeah. So,
but you don't know how to turn it on, though, so if they're not
home... turn it on, so I need to figure out that. And then, because I didn't know that it worked somehow in my mind, it's possible that maybe it stopped working since then, but
that's
not logical. So I'll probably be watching it there.
Well, the Midwest has few cultural advantages, but Michigan happens to be on the edge of the Eastern time zone, so I do get to watch it live. With Bachelor Nation, which was not a luxury that we had in the Pacific Northwest. Like, Twitter was filled with spoilers, you know, I couldn't live tweet it, but this year...
You're going to know ahead of me.
I am.
It's hard for us, because I'm just going to want you to tell me, and you're not...
I'm hoping that you watch them in short shrift. What's that expression?
That's not that word means.
Well, tell me!
I think you mean to say, I hope you watch them swiftly.
No. In short
shrift, like if you give something short shrift, it means that you, like, don't give it its due.
Oh. Okay, well, fuck you for making
me. I love you, Molly.
Cool.
That was amazing.
I love you too.
Okay, before I will. I'm going to watch them right when they come out. But.
Oh, and I'm going to be live tweeting after _the_rose, so tune in for that. But what
all
were we
of our
say?
Followers. Mm-hmm. Oh, just that I think that we are bringing up, there are some interesting points about, do you, because you get points for wacky things, you get points for negative things, you get points for positive things.
Yeah, that's an important point that you brought up. This isn't a bracket. That's important to keep in mind. It's not like NCAA where you like are just like choosing who will go the farthest. It's based on their behavior on the season. So.
Yeah, so, I mean, you could get a lot of points for somebody leaving.
Mm-hmm, 50 points for somebody leaving. I'm going to read a couple of them on here. So, phrases that they say, there's a few. I'll read the ones that are new in 2016. Expressing fear of a date activity is worth 10 points. discussing her virginity is worth 15 points. I suspect that Becca is a virgin, and I think that there's this girl, Jamie, who says in her profile that she's inexperienced in love.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I suspect
yeah.
she might be one, too. So that could be a point maker. Saying, I'm falling for you. I'm falling for her.
Yeah.
They should have guards up on this. I've got my guards up. That might be
particular
God, the to
the guards.
Men, yep. But your penis is up. Yeah, there are not enough dicks on this dance floor. Last year, too many dicks. This one, more broads, less rods.
Where do you come up with this stuff, Molly?
Flight of the Conchords.
Okay.
Yeah, no,
like,
that's
you're
all.
On fire.
I know. I'm so funny. attending a concert, you get 10 points. Riding a helicopter is 10 points. Wearing a helmet, 5 points. That's funny.
Yeah, so, I mean, long story short, also, just, you know, if you're wanting to join the league, please do. We're hoping to get two teams going.
We'll get as many teams as people.
As many teams as we have people, so just come on over. But just pick 5 people. There's no real way to strategize.
You could literally put... put all the names in a list and then go on the internet and search for a random generator and have it, like, spew out, like your lotto tickets. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because, honestly, there's no predicting this shit. We can read these profiles and, like, think that we know them, but... And the degree of variance between them is
so
not,
small.
Not. They're all the fucking same.
Family is really important to me, Molly.
Yeah, I also enjoy family, and I prefer hot weather kids. Over cold weather. We filled
How do
out
you for- think ours measure up, our own...
The bios that we filled out?
Yeah, we answered these same questions.
And we really got out of hand. We went ahead and answered, like, all of them, so our bios are, like, way longer. I think that we're cool and they suck. I don't know.
Sorry, man.
Except
you don't like
for
The Sound of Music?
Dude, oh my god. I can't believe you like The Sound of Music that much.
I love it.
Oh, man. When
I'm writing about World War II, Molly. This is, I mean.
Oh, it's such, oh, it's the worst. When I was a kid, I went to a sleepover and they put on The Sound of Music and like 5 minutes in, 15 minutes in, I like threw a tantrum. I was like, this movie is so stupid. Why do we have to watch this? I hate
not.
These songs.
And it's also based on the true story of the Von Trapp family singers.
I had my mom come pick me up and leave because I didn't want to finish The Sound of Music. I was so mad. I think that they were choosing between two different movies or three different movies, and there was one that I wanted to watch, and it was like either and then
Ride
I knew
of
that,
Chucky or something.
Well, this had to have been in like 1989 or something. So
Hills Have Eyes.
Grease was another one, and I also didn't like that movie. Like, aww. I must have had my brother's voice in my ear because he was always like a real, like, he crafted me to be a cool person. When I tried to, like, New Kids on the Block, he was like, no, uh-uh.
So. I feel so bad for my brother in that way because it's...
You're just
the
like...
Reason that, no, it's like the reason he knows so many Peter, Paul, and Mary songs on the guitar is because, like, that was what I listened to. So
I've always been cool.
You got me by your side, just up in your cool points.
you're cool in certain ways. Like, you have the most impressive sweater collection of anyone I've known. What I think comes across when I look at the host bios are our contestant bios, which you can read on our website, afterthrosepodcast.com. I feel like you're sort of like the yin to my yang. You're... I feel like you're a little more sincere and, like, into love, but
yeah.
But also gay, so that's interesting. That's a twist.
I know. I just have a lot of feelings, I think. I showed up a couple of weeks ago at a friend's house, and I don't know what, I was upset about something, and I started crying. And I was like, I'm so sorry, you guys. I don't know. Like, I'm not normally like this. And the way their eyebrows shot up, I knew. I knew, like, it was the same feeling I had when I learned at, like, the age of, like, 24 that I have a lisp. Like, I just, no one ever told me.
Mm-hmm. You just found out that you're emotional?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty tough as nails, but now it turns out that crying 3 to 4 times a day is probably not the norm. Might be a little on the extreme side.
So. I remember when I worked at Pizza Hut when I was like 19 years old. Once the shop closed, me and the store manager and the other drivers would get super high in the kitchen, and then I would mop the floor. And every night I would say to Tony, oh man, I'm not doing a great job tonight, Tony. I'm sorry. And after like 3 months, he was like, Molly, you say that every goddamn night. And I'm sure that was true. Things are a lot different now.
More shiny.
I love these fucking these questions are so stupid. Like tattoos, you just give the number. Like,
right.
We don't need to know what they are, where they are. Like, I haven't. There's not a goddamn single visible tattoo in any of those pictures. So I don't know where their tattoos are.
Oh, they're all delicate ankle butterflies and things like that.
You have two. I have three. Tell us about your. Briefly tell me what your tattoos are.
I have a scrap of an ancient of a sapphic poem in ancient Greek on
Did you get that in Greece?
No, I got it after I lived in Greece, but yeah, it translates to as long as you want, which is in my mind a call towards continual self-evolution and the driving force of wanting for things and not ever being able to reach who you want to become. And
that's
on
very
my right forearm, I have the last few lines of a Carolyn Forché poem from the Angel of History. Excuse me. From last few lines from her poem Elegy.
Well, I have two birds on my right forearm, a robin and a western tanager. I got a baby elephant in utero on my right shoulder, and I got birds and cherry blossoms, like a half sleeve on my left arm, and they all mean nothing.
Really?
My brother did them. He's a tattoo artist. That's what they mean.
But oh, Molly.
I'd be the
yin and yang.
I remember when Aaron was looking at the profiles, he was like, there's no tattoos, no piercings, you know, like he's into alternative chicks. I'm like, nope, you can choose from vanilla and French vanilla. So,
this is so true.
There's a lot spending so much time in Bachelor Nation on the internet, a lot of the same observations and jokes get brought up, so we'll just get them out of the way. Number one, there's four Laurens. Oh my god, why so many Laurens? And a Laura. Number two, there's twins.
Fucking twins.
They're 22 years old. They have the most brain-dead profiles of all of them, and I mean, it's a tough competition.
One of them
that says
her job is being a twin.
Yeah,
which really
they both say
me.
That. I did
yeah,
a little
it's
more.
Not even. It doesn't have the. It doesn't have the like cachet of like a chicken enthusiast or a sports fishing enthusiast because it just. It doesn't even give you any sense of how you might make money. Or
well,
like,
from my cursory internet research, what I can conclude about these twins is that I mean they're 22 years old, so their career is nascent. You know, and one of them was on that Dallas Cheerleaders show that you've talked about.
I love that show.
And I don't know if it was the same one or a different one, but they do like YouTube videos of like blogging makeup tips and shit. Like, so they're just out there being twins on TV, basically.
I do have like a level of impressiveness with people who have kind of like wandered into the forest of the internet and like are certain they can make a living there. Like, I feel like you have more of that in you than me, you know?
Well, I begin to despair more and more every day as I see like the pool of desperate people like vying for attention. Like, that's sort of the new economy. Like, how many eyes can you get on you? And I learned something startling, in the last couple of weeks. I remember last season, I was very adamant that I was sure that the contestants got paid for being on the show, because it just seemed inconceivable to me that they would have to like do interviews and like do all this stuff and be on TV and make like the network so much money, but they don't get paid. Like,
really?
The Bachelor or the Bachelorette gets paid. But the contestants don't get paid. I mean, they get, like, housed and fed and stuff. They have to bring all their own dresses and shit. Like, it's a real scrappy enterprise. Like, it's all about just them coming on the show so that they can, you know, further their career, you know, like, with exposure and stuff.
Well, and especially, there's this fucked up catch-22 about it, too, because, like, if you know, it would taint the idea of like you're just going for it because you desperately really are invested in love, so you're willing to go and you're willing to invest yourself in it, as opposed to going because maybe you want the baubles.
I guess, but I just feel like, I mean, pay them like a stipend, like something. To me, it's the same as like college basketball players where like the school makes tons of money on them and like they don't like get any money. Like, I don't know. Just seems I hate this new culture, like economic culture. I mean, you know, as a writer, like we're constantly being told that we should write for free, like for exposure.
And it does feel, I was just talking the other day, it feels like this really like a stressful point in like my writing career where I want and need to say yes to everything, but I'm not getting paid for anything, you know? Mm-hmm. And like because I had a book come out, people will ask more for things, but there's still no money attached to it, and I just feel like I'm losing my mind half the time, you know?
It's like at what
just trying to keep up with things, and
at
like,
what magical point does it stop being about exposure and do we actually get fucking paid, you know?
Right. Never. I don't know that there is one, but occasionally I'll get real low about it, but
well, you dry your eyes on that French translation deal, girl.
Oh, thanks, Maltz.
I think that's really cool. I want to attempt to read it in French.
What's your catchphrase in French? It speaks French to me sometimes. I really like it.
L'enfer, c'est autre. No, hold on.
It's like an anxiety soother.
L'enfer, c'est les autres. L'enfer, c'est les autres. The hell, it is other people. That's my experience in Michigan.
I mean, it is a lot like I didn't come here to make friends, you know?
Yeah, oh man, if I were on the show, I'd be all like, l'enfer, c'est le tôtre. And they'd be like, what the fuck? Read a book. His name's Sartre. Motherfuckers.
Well, you should totally go on.
Lose enough weight to be on the show, I will have already, like, I'm already over the age limit. Like, not in this life.
Yeah.
We missed our window.
Anything.
So who are you thinking for your team?
I have sort of at this point, I think, Jennifer, Lace, Becca, Shoshana, and Amber.
I like it. Yep.
My team, I think.
I have two crossovers with you, Becca and Jennifer, and I don't remember why I chose Jennifer, and I'm not going to look it up, but and then I have Izzy. I chose Izzy based on the fact that she looks pretty, and she lists Mumford & Sons as one of her musical tastes, and I feel like Ben Higgins is a big Mumford & Sons fan. Like, whenever you're at karaoke and, like, a dude gets up and he's wearing, like, a hemp necklace and he sings a Mumford & Sons song, like, you don't know if he's a Christian or not. Like,
yeah.
Mumford & Sons are not a Christian band, but, like, particularly Sigh No More is almost like a concept album for, like, leaving romantic love in favor of the divine. How do I know that? I don't know. Leave me alone. But
I don't know. I see, like, I don't know if I see him listening to Mumford & Sons. I don't know that he, I see him, like, just back maybe with some jars of clay or something.
Well, that's the closest approximation to jars of clay in the modern world, Megan. So really, you're just strengthening my point. These women, oh my God, their musical taste, their taste in movies. One woman, like, she lists Reservoir Dogs as one of her favorite movies, and then also The Notebook.
I liked reading through their profiles and recognizing that you were going to burst into flames when you read their movie choice.
Oh God, we bought a zoo. Who the fuck? Dig deep, girl. Like,
like, so, make it up. You don't have to be honest.
Some of these profiles, it's like, did you think about this before you did it? Like, you know that people are scouring, like, your answers. Like,
Bought a zoo about?
It's like, I mean, Megan, it's about people who bought a zoo.
Can you buy a zoo?
It's like a scrappy team of Matt Damon and some people that, like, I think it's a Cameron Crowe movie, which is really disappointing because he usually makes good films. I haven't seen it, but, you know, like, they're buying all these animals and, like, they're going to put a zoo together in a backyard. Like, yeah.
I wish it was something like we bought a zoo and The Revenant or something like that. Which I just saw the other day and,
what did you see?
A man grow into inside a dead horse before, but check that one off the list.
Well, then you haven't seen the Star Wars movies.
Really?
That exact thing happens in Empire Strikes Back, but it's like a, you know, it's a futuristic riding animal, and it's really disgusting.
I have no
and
idea.
Cool. Yeah, no.
I found The Revenant. I was staggered by how it held my attention and by the fact that I was following along. It did not strike. I didn't think I was going to care or want to watch it. And then
that's
I just kept like,
that's
it's
great
like
to
it
hear.
Felt like watching Car Talk or listening to Car Talk or something where at the end they're like, you're like, huh.
Yeah, it transcends the genre, you know, because it's not your field of interest necessarily, like a man on revenge and frontier time.
Yeah.
I have to review that and Hateful Eight this week, coincidentally. Oh. So I'm happy to hear your input.
Yeah.
There was a reviewer that famously said on the internet, like, this poor guy, like, everyone has used this as a talking point, but he was like, he said, forget women seeing this, because it's, like,
yeah,
too brutal.
I hate that.
And everyone's just like, fuck you.
Well, I got really intrigued by it, where it's, occasionally you'll just recognize, like, how, like, uncomfortable and dirty and pungent the past, you know, like,
yeah,
the past was. And I don't know, just watching the kind of degrees of
this infuriating idea that women would be like squeamish, or like that struggle is not relevant to our lives, like feeling uncomfortable or like in the elements or like being angry about a thing that happened. Like, oh no, those are men feelings. Like, fuck you, I hate that shit.
Get back inside on your sateen pillow. Oh my gosh. Well, do we have other things we want to talk about before we get ready to launch?
Yeah, we should wrap it up here. We've been talking for almost an hour. Man, I don't know. I'm really excited. I got a good feeling about this season. I think we're going to have a lot of fun with the league, and I think Ben H is going to be a sturdy, solid, he's like a straight man, you know? I think he's going to be good. And you?
Are you sure he's a straight man?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I am. I can smell it on him, Megan. Like, I just want to climb into his lap.
You have a highly attuned, like, pheromone sense.
I'm usually not attracted to The Bachelor, so I think I'm just excited that I am this time.
Yeah, no, you have the smell sense. It's like what I have for Butches.
Yeah, and Dorothy has that too. My dog.
Okay. What was the question?
Oh, final thoughts, Megan.
Oh, final thoughts. No, I'm so excited. We are working out the kinks, but I think, like, you know, we've done this for a couple of seasons now, and we are committed to it. We had a heart-to-heart where we decided we were going to go forward. And we are.
Man, I just want to make a quick note about how this show is really ruining my reputation. I feel like people don't understand. There's a lot of hate for The Bachelor out there.
There is. And it's like, I have found that there are people who won't even, like they don't seem to want to engage. Like, they can't understand that there are multiple levels at which I enjoy the show. And so they just sort of, like, I think it's a kind of, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all thing, where they'll just dismiss it and change the subject.
Well, I got a glimpse of this. I wasn't watching TV on New Year's Eve, but I was looking at the Bachelor hashtag on Twitter leading up to, like, the ball dropping on the East Coast. And they must have been super plugging The Bachelor hard, like, in commercials, because people were talking about it. And there was just, like, this outrage and disgust of, like, oh, the show is so disgusting, like, blah, like, it's so cheesy and fake, and, like, you know, I think that people, like, alternative people are, have a real visceral, like, negative reaction to it because of, like, its consumerism and, like, you know, like, the homogeneity of the contestants and all that stuff, and all that shit is true, but I think they're just missing out on how batshit crazy it is, like...
Yeah, well, and I am just... fixated on the, like, words, the rhetoric we use around love and, like, the idea of what it is and how it's bought and sold. And so that, I mean, granted, on a very basic level, I just enjoy watching. I've always said that. Yeah, it is fixating to me. Like, you know, all I want to do is talk about love. Like, that's all I want to do.
And I've always said about movies that I like all movies in the sense that, like, because they're trying to like, approximate reality. And it can be so strange when, like, they get it wrong, like, when it just isn't quite right. And this show is, like, it's trying to sell us love packaged in the most, like, milquetoast, like, unobjectionable way. And that presentation is so bizarre. Like, them trying to be, like, to get it just right is just so strange.
It feels almost like sci-fi or something to me.
Yeah, you know? It's so fucking weird.
That part is what I really enjoy about it.
But if you don't understand it, we can't explain it. We hope that even if you don't watch the show, you'll enjoy our show, but I don't know. Anyway, stick with us.
When is our first... When will episode one drop?
Episode one is going to drop hopefully Wednesday, January 6th.
Okay, cool. In the meantime, Molly, I miss you every day.
I love you, Megan.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye, everyone. Get your Bachelor fantasy picks in.
AfterTheRosePodcast.com. Goodbye. Okay, let's stop. Okay, I'm having trouble with my mouse.